The tension between the Muslim and Christian worlds takes on a very personal character when it comes to Lebanon. It's a Muslim-majority country, but with a large Christian population. And the Constitution says the president should always be a Maronite Christian. That rule was meant to share the power between religious groups. But as a scheduled presidential election approaches, it's actually led to tension within a religious group. Christians can't agree on who to support. Fighting among Christian factions has shaped much of Lebanon's history, and NPR's Peter Kenyon has the second of three reports.
Ever since Lebanon was created by the French as a Christian enclave carved out of coastal and mountainous sections of Syria during the latter stages of the Ottoman Empire, Lebanon's Christians have been in a struggle to maintain their status in an overwhelmingly Muslim part of the world. Barely 5 years after Lebanon won its independence from France in 1943, Christians watched with dismay as the Sunni Muslim population swelled after the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, as thousands of Palestinians fled or were driven north across the Lebanese border. The Palestinians weren't allowed to vote. By and large, they aren't to this day, but their influence was felt nonetheless. The first time that tensions flared into significant violence was in 1958, when Muslim supporters of Egyptian leader Gamal Abdel Nasser's pan-Arab nationalist movement rose up against the Christian-led government. That brought U.S. warships to the eastern Mediterranean and American tanks to Beirut. It was in 1975, however, that Lebanese blood began to spill in earnest, and it would continue to spill for a decade and a half. It began with a clash between Maronite forces and PLO guerrillas. As with all Lebanese conflicts, though, foreign powers couldn't keep away. In 1978, Israeli forces invaded, beginning an occupation that would last 22 years. In 1982, the world watched as Israeli warplanes obliterated whole sections of PLO-controlled West Beirut.
It was one of the heaviest days of fighting for some time, as the fighter bombers came in every 10 or 15 minutes for hours on end. Then, after the planes, the tanks came into action.
As was their habit, Lebanese factions aligned with their foreign benefactors of choice and then shifted loyalties as the fighting raged on. The Syrians had been invited in 1976 by the Christian president, but within a year, Christian militias had begun to ally with the Israelis. In September of 1982, the Christian president-elect Bashir Jamal was blown up before he could take office. 2 days later, Christian militiamen rampaged through the Palestinian refugee camps of Sabra and Shatila, slaughtering hundreds, possibly thousands of Palestinians. American and French forces would also soon be on the ground and would become the targets of deadly suicide bombings. Just when it seemed that the combatants might finally be exhausted, Lebanese Christians began killing each other.
North of Beirut, five more people have been killed in the latest fighting between rival Christian forces. That raises the death toll to at least 215 in a week of battles between the forces of General Michel Aoun and those loyal to Samir Jaja.
As always, the reasons were complicated, but as British journalist Robert Fisk writes in his book Pity the Nation, General Aoun had, quote, decided to liquidate all remaining political opposition within his Christian enclave and turned upon his phalangist allies in a war even more savage than the one he'd fought against the Syrians in 1989. Many Lebanese Christians believe that the internal Christian warfare all but destroyed the community. Rafiq Houri, editor of Al Anwar newspaper, says the consequences were indeed devastating.
But the you know, internal war was very, very difficult for us as Christians. And now we are so weak and divided. And it is not something new. The history of the Maronites, especially, the history of dividing people.
Historian Kamal Salibi calls it the mountain culture of the Maronites, a tendency to fall back on tribal loyalties, even at the risk of undermining their own political fate in the long run.
It's the tribalism. Of the people of Lebanon, the Maronites are the most tribal. They no longer live in the mountains, yes. You see. They've left the mountains, but the mountain has not left them.
Samir Khalaf at the American University in Beirut says that may be part of the answer, but the machinations of foreign powers cannot be ignored.
The easy question is tribalism, but that doesn't tell the whole story. When tribalism, when communal, factional loyalty is also reinforced by regional and global turf wars, this is when it becomes explosive.
Members of the Lebanese parliament are meeting in Saudi Arabia for talks aimed at ending Lebanon's 14-year-old civil war.
The political framework for post-civil war Lebanon was hammered out at the Saudi resort of Taif. The Taif agreement stripped the Maronite presidency of much of its power and handed those powers to the Sunni prime minister. 2 years later, that job would go to a rich and powerful ally of the Saudis, Rafik Hariri. Professor Bersh Trabulsi at Hagazian University in Beirut says the Taif agreement was a crippling loss of power for the Christians.
It was produced to serve the Syrians and Rafik Hariri, okay? So they took some political privileges from the Maronite president and they gave it to the Sunni prime minister. The Christians, they lost, and they feel nowadays that they have no role to play anymore in Lebanon.
But despite the Maronite anguish at their losses, under the Taif agreement, Lebanese Christians still retain a 50% share in parliament, something unheard of in this region. That has remained true even as the Christian population, hit by the twin problems of low birth rate and high emigration, dwindled to an unofficial estimate of perhaps 35% of the population today. That has some Lebanese, Christian and Muslim alike, wondering if the next political crisis will be the one to bring down the confessional power-sharing system, and with it, Lebanon's place as the most pluralistic, open, and tolerant society in the Arab world. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Beirut.